February 28th, 2024. Can you hear me? Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" Matthew 13:10-17. Now, as we move on from hearing the parable of the sower, we can hear Jesus lay out plainly the condition of man's hearts. We have heard the leaders want a sign and more proof. We have heard Jesus talk about the clean house and the evil spirits. We have heard him restructure our view of family. And now the disciples are going to pull him aside. This almost had been a lot to take in. Jesus said and moved in a way that was unexpected and remarkable. So, now we will hear his disciples ask a very good question. Why do you speak to them in parables? This is a fair question. In fact, many are confused by God's handling of many things. Isaiah 55:8 makes it clear when it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And there is a tension that naturally happens in our heart when we read passages like this, like the one we find in Matthew 13 that we just read. It's natural to think, why would you speak in parables? Why not allow the whole world to hear all the same? Why would some be blind and some not? Why would some hear and some don't? But we don't see all that is involved. We only see our little scope of life. And if you add to the equation our fallen state and our ability to determine what we think is right and wrong apart from God, we will rebelliously end up against God and interrogating him instead of believing he is good. And what's even scarier is Christ has made salvation so plain that it's only the wickedness of the heart that seems to be the man's biggest enemy, not Christ. And we still call him evil for his choices when it was our choices that have damaged the whole universe. To call evil good and good evil. This is a great evil in our hearts to read passages like this and count God as the bad guy. To think, how dare you not allow everyone to not have ears to hear? We who are evil are very prompt to call the Son of God, who is perfect, evil like ourselves. And this isn't the only passage that we do this with. This isn't the only passage that can move our nerves when we read it. Take a look at Romans 9:14-18. It says, "What shall we say then?" Meaning, this has been asked before. This injustice of God, this accusing God. Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So then, he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You see, there is something that we need to see clearly when we think of these passages. When we hear hearing but not hearing, when we hear the hardening of hearts, like we do in Romans 9, And Romans 9 points out what we need to hear clearly or see clearly. It points it out very plainly. He, Paul, says, "So then he has mercy on whomever he wills." Everyone on earth is in fact rebellious against God. These Pharisees, you, me, the disciples, they think they know best, and they love their sin more than God. They reject his word, they take pleasure in doing things that he says are wrong. This is the condition of the whole world. They think that they are autonomous, that they have their being without him, that they're just from animals, they're from creatures. All are rebels and all are evil and reject Christ. The only way that this is able to change is for God to have mercy and reveal himself to those individuals, to let them be able to hear and see, to enable men and women to be people who hear. We are greatly depraved, and no amount of acts or religious thoughts will get us right with God. Only Christ and his gospel are the way to be saved. This is offensive. This is offensive to the Pharisees. This is offensive to people who do not want it to be true, who reject Christ. Is God wrong for this? Is God wrong for only the gospel the way to be saved? Is God wrong for his choices? No, he's merciful in his choices. In fact, he calls men constantly. We must beware of dullness of heart. You see, it's easy to point fingers at God and say, "This is your fault. You're not opening anybody's heart. You're not doing this and you're not doing that." But the reality is, it's our fault. We're the one who rebelled against God. God sent his son to rescue us. He died on the cross to make us right with God and provides a way for salvation. This isn't the fault of God. If anything, God has shown extreme compassion from Adam all the way until now. This isn't the fault of God. He's not the bad guy in this story. We must hear the gospel and not harden our hearts. Not take Christ and slander his spirit. Not take his gospel and reject it. If he is nudging, then we must embrace him. Lest we be numbered among men who have ears but do not hear. Indeed, we must cry out for mercy, because this is an impossible act apart from a work of God. This isn't you and I trying to not cuss and steal. This is us being dead, literally, physically, not physically, spiritually dead, and needing to be made alive. Dead men don't hear. They have ears, but they don't work. And dressing a dead man up for church every Sunday isn't going to get him back to life. The religious leaders were dead spiritually. They had the law, and they were very fond of keeping the law. They were very proud of being sons of Abraham, but they needed life. They needed Christ. He was right in front of them, and they were blind. They heard his teaching, they rejected him. This is the men without ears. The warning is sounding over and over again as we read Matthew. We must take this seriously. We must be sure to hear and see Christ while he is in our midst. You may say, "He's not in my midst. I can't see him." But you do. Every time you hear the scriptures or have the gospel presented to you, you are being given the opportunity to hear and see. But as we read before, is your soil good? Or is your heart hard? And pray that it becomes good. If there's any inkling in you of unbelief, pray that God reveals it, that he changes your heart. Let us hear how Christ urges his disciples. It says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You can see. You have it available to you every day, especially in America. Pick up your Bible and embrace Christ. Don't wallow and say, "Well, Christ didn't let me hear. He didn't give me mercy. I'm hopeless." No, no, no. You are being offered the opportunity today. Embrace Christ as your salvation and your treasure. He is merciful. He proved it on the cross. He is willing He shows that through his work. As we read the gospel, we have seen it time and time again, how he has healed and called and taught and drawn people to himself and corrected the Pharisees, trying to lead them in love. So we must cry out for mercy and hear and see today. And with this, have a happy Wednesday.